coming up on Your Best Life.
Such a beautiful thing when a heart is transformed and people discover that there are keys that unlock the blessing of God. Nobody in the congregation is left poorer because that's the system that God has put into place, that we evaporate up and rain comes down.
Welcome to another message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. We are praying that this message will bless you and help you live your best life. For more information about Pastor Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
This is a God is Able session. We used to call it our miracle offering, but we felt that term got a little outdated. And so we are calling it our God is Able session. And so many miracles have happened in these sessions over the years that it would almost be remiss of us to not actually engage in this and invite you to bring an offering to the Lord that will release you into a world of miracles that maybe you've never been before. And it is such an exciting time. Chelsea, one of our staff members, just a young lady over there, she says, "I'm so excited for this session." You know, I did the high voice because, girl. And she's like jumping out of her skin. I said, "Oh, thank you. That helps me. That encourages me because I just like people getting excited about something that you can get involved in that will call on you for faith, sacrifice, and commitment and to take a step. But I have a lot of people who say, "I can't wait for that session. We're just coming to see something amazing happen in our lives. We want to get involved in a miraculous moment." And I find that God keeps appointments. He actually, if He arranges something in your mind about what you should plan in a conference or even in church life, we will say, "We're going to have a healing meeting." Amazingly, people get healed. That's what happens when you have that particular arrangement of mind. God moves with you if you've heard from the Lord. And so in this instance, there's always a step of faith to move through areas that are somewhat difficult and awkward in the Christian life. And this can be one of them where we come to the realm of giving. But I have never had an apology inside of me about introducing people to this or encouraging people to do this. All of our pastors, I tell them, you make sure that you start out with that in your culture because it will bring blessing on your church. I remember Jürgen Matesius. Amen. Go ahead. Give the Lord a clap offering. I remember Jürgen and Leanne when they went to San Diego. They were, you know, we said start a building fund from day one, and they did. And then several years later, they were able to purchase a building and debt-free and still have $1 million in the bank and go ahead and buy another one. And then now they've got 3 campuses and exploding with growth. And that is just a great thing to keep. And the fact is, nobody in the congregation is left poorer because that's the system that God has put into place, that we evaporate up and rain comes down. And if you just keep eating apples off a tree and you never water it, you're eventually going to have no apples. And there's an exchange that takes place when you're blessed to bless back. And that cycle of blessing begins to flow in your life as a legacy, as a stream that will flow not only in your own family, but in your friends around you and then through your children. And that is how God works in these amazing ways. But the testimonies that we hear, honestly, they make me weep. Not a lot of things make me weep. I'm not really a weeper. But I do, when I hear things that people have gone through and experienced because they stepped out and they allowed themselves to think bigger than they'd ever thought before. And they allowed generosity to fill their heart instead of withholding or criticism or fault finding. And I just find that that is such a beautiful thing when a heart is transformed and people discover that there are keys that unlock the blessing of God. And today I want you to hear the story of a couple called Scott and Danielle, who are good friends of ours. Could you welcome these guys to the stage? And they told us a story recently, which was to do with giving. And I thought, man, people ought to hear this about how it affects families and individuals in their lives. So thanks, Scott and Danielle. God bless you.
Thanks. Over to you, darling.
Okay. I'll tell this story, even though it involves our whole family. It's pretty much a testimony of how giving can unstick you. You know, from being a place where you get a bit stuck with stuff that's going on. A few years ago, our little family was in quite a time of strife. I have three sons. We have three sons. They're all his. So we have three sons. And they were not walking with God at the time. Our eldest boy, he was kind of in with a bit of a bad crowd and in with a bit of a drug scene. Another one of our sons, his world was completely tipped upside down, and he was a young teenage boy, and we spent the next 18 months having to go through court processes where a middle-aged man was put in jail, and our son was left not wanting to stay on this earth. And on many occasions I would sleep on the floor of his bedroom to prevent him from doing things that would cause him not to be on this earth. And or I would sleep by our front door because of the anxiety that was just in us at that time. And we have a third son, and he was young and not quite walking with God either. And so this was a very, very, very difficult time. At that same time, we have a company, we have a business, and it had just gone through one of the worst times ever. We lost two-thirds of our company pretty much overnight.
In three weeks,
I wasn't totally exaggerating. So in 3 weeks, we lost two-thirds of our business overnight. And so my husband is dealing with a family that is in crisis beyond what you'd ever want to experience as a parent. And he's got his own struggles trying to keep everything afloat. And on we walked through this, not really sharing with people at the time because of the nature of what we were going through, but on we walked. And throughout this whole time, it's not like I ever felt that God was punishing us, all this bad stuff was happening because we'd been bad. I never felt that. In fact, I felt that God was right near me. And at sort of 2 a.m. in the morning when I'd go down to pray, and instead of praying, I would just fall on the floor and be weeping instead and just crying. That's all I could do for a long, long time. I couldn't even pray. I could just cry. And anyway, on we went for about 18 months like this. And we've grown up as Christians. We've been givers our whole life. And it's a big part of how we run our family and how we've brought up our boys and all the rest of it. And there was a giving opportunity in our church a couple of years ago. And we, at that point in time, we were not engaged with anything much. We were too busy just being heartbroken. And but out of form and pattern, we were going along to this dinner, and we, in fact, I think we put as much effort in as Scott was in the bathroom shaving and I was blow drying my hair, and we decided how much we were going to give at this offering tonight. That's how engaged we were with our giving on that occasion. And we got to this dinner, and again, just totally disengaged with much that was going on in life around us other than our family was in trouble. That was all that mattered to us at the time. Anyway, Pastor Phil was speaking, and I'm sure you were saying something fabulous, but that was kind of going on there. But in the other ear, I was hearing the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was saying to me, "What price your children?" And I knew he wasn't saying, "You buy your children's salvation." We all know you don't pay for your salvation. But I knew he was challenging me to engage and step out and have faith for something even though what we were walking through, I didn't even know whether God could fix what we were walking through. You know, of course I did, but you know what I mean. And so we had this amount of money, which was a very doable amount that we'd written on our little giving card. And Pastor Phil speaking away, and I saw the voice going. You know, I picked up a pen and I added a zero to our offering. And it's, when you add a zero, it's very different to just like doubling an offering, you know? And so I added a zero and I kind of looked at Scott, and he was busy choking on his bread and sort of, you know, did the Heimlich maneuver and, you know. But anyway, so, but he looked at me, and because he just adores me so much, he just, you know, nodded and said, "That was fine, honey." And so I said I would explain later. And so we gave this amount, and for me it was all about getting unstuck in a situation that was not destroying me, but breaking me. In amongst all of this, my beautiful mum, who is a gorgeous praying woman, my biggest support, she passed away throughout all that time, and I didn't even have my mum, excuse me, at that time to sort of be with, you know, and to talk to every day and pray with me every day. So, you know, there was all of that going on, and here we were, and we needed to be unstuck. So I'm just, sorry, I know I'm taking too long. I'm so sorry. I'll come, you know, 18 months or so, 2 years down the track to today. I'm just going to tell you the very quick version of where we are at today. So we went from being where we were and the boys not walking with God. My eldest son is actually sitting in the audience here. He's got red face paint on. And he's actually in his second year of Bible college. And he's doing the C3 Bible College. And he's being a tribe leader down there. I don't know what they're doing with your children down there, by the way, because there's been this sort of parade of feathers all through my house. They put out a load of washing this morning and there were more feathers in the washing. So I don't know what they're doing with them down in that tent, but I think they're teaching them how to pluck chickens or something. So, you know, anyway. And our middle boy, where obviously there's been the most trauma, and the journey, whilst I'm saying it very, very quickly, has been very, very long and very gentle from God, and very, very loving from God. He is in church. When he came back to church, when he did, you know, stop trying to do away with himself and all that sort of thing, and he did come back into church, he came back in with a boyfriend, and that young man, they were together at that time, that young man went forward in church and gave his life to the God, and got right involved, is having his own journey with the Lord, is in a connect group, and I believe just recently he got water baptized as well. So that is our journey. My youngest boy is also in church, although I do describe his journey with God as, you know, he's definitely on the bus to heaven, but he treats it like he's on one of those red tourist buses, the hop on, hop off kind, you know. So, you know, he's definitely on, and he is in fact very much connected with God. He brought his little girlfriend along to church, and she went out the front, and now she comes along to church with us too. So, thank you.
I just want to say that she's awesome, my wife. She's amazing. What you've got to do, you've got to do it with each other. You can't do it on your own. You do it with each other, and you have people, and you pray, and you love. I've got some guys that we pray with every so often, that's about our kids, families. It's a monthly, and we pray. And that's a big difference, and we hear God, and we love, and we obey, and we just push forwards, and you get there, and we'll get through the other end of it. Thank you.
How's your business going, Scott?
Terrific. Amazing. So
have we gotten back the 2/3 yet, or?
Oh, and.
No.
Oh yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Better?
Yeah,
better? More?
Yeah, more. Double what we had.
No. Before. You're kidding me.
Double what we had.
No. Yeah. Come on, give the Lord a clap offering, everybody. Thank you. Woo. I tell you, you know, there's a point of connection and contact that happens whenever we come to give. And in about 20 minutes, we're going to invite you to give into the kingdom of God. And I believe here today that in this congregation, many of you will hear from the Lord right now, if you haven't already, about this offering. I was praying about this morning, and I generally started in my own heart of thinking I will give $10,000, you know, and I thought, yeah, well, that's what we'll do. And I hadn't thought any more about it. While I'm praying about something totally different, the Lord starts talking to me, like Danielle, and he was saying, and I was praying about three situations, and they really matter a lot to me, really matter a lot. And the Lord, again, it's not like you're buying anything, but it's just a step of faith that takes you into a bigger zone. He said, why don't you times three that? I said, Lord, why don't you? Amen. He said, you can do it. I said, I can't. Look at my bank account. There's not. And then I remembered. I've been kind of squirreling away an amount to just try and get ahead on the mortgage. I said, no, don't do that to me. It's unkind. He says, you preach this, you know, obedience thing, parable of the dog. I said, don't you bring that up with me, you know, like, it's unfair, right? He says, don't you think I can supply for you? I said, well, I preach it and I do believe it, but when you actually come every time, it's not like you can build on last year's miracles. It's now's now, and you're in another frame of mind, and you got to go again and to that place of faith. So, okay, it's going to work for me. And it always has worked for us, unbelievably. Chris and I would have 100 stories of provision. But I've never found that yesterday's miracles helped me much with today's faith for some reason. Coming out of Egypt, walking through a Red Sea, didn't help the Israelites when they hit the wilderness and got some sour water. And then they said, could God provide meat in the wilderness? He just got you out of 400 years of slavery through a Red Sea. Yeah, well, I'm not sure he can do this today. So it's like new faith for new miracles. And I know that in here today, I can feel it right now. I can feel your faith rising. I can feel the demons fleeing, because they will try and block you from the miracles that God has for you. And he's putting that key inside your hand here today to unlock the blessings that he's got for you out front. And there are so many critics and so many people who have an opinion about this area. But honestly, that's what living for Christ is, living against some of the oppositions. It always has been. And so I want to come to this beautiful scripture that the Lord gave me 6 weeks ago. This was the first message he gave me for presence this year. In Psalm 116 and verse 12, and I've never actually preached on this message, on this particular psalm before, but I just thought this was such a question that he wanted me to ask myself. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. The first thing that we should do to honor God is take all that Jesus Christ has done for us. It seems strange. What shall I render to the Lord? I will take? I thought I was rendering to the Lord first. He says, no. You need to let your cup overflow with the abundant salvation I have delivered to you. And then you will love me because I loved you first. And that's how God does it. We love him, we respond to him, because first our cup overflowed. And then he says, I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pray. In the highest rendition of human existence, to commune with the Almighty God is the first art of rendering It's called fellowship. It's why he sent his son, to reconnect and renew that communion and fellowship. It's not just about coming along to church or a conference. It's about you knowing that you're in communion with the Father and his Son. That's what it is all about. And then David says, out of that, I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. And I thought, what a beautiful verse, Lord. You got all the words I want in there. I'll pay vows, my commitments to the Lord now, today, in presence, amen, of all my people. Like, it's like God had a little verse reserved for the day, written so many thousands of years ago for you and me. So the first thing to do is to remember all of the benefits that the Lord has brought to you. Psalm 103 says, all that is in me, bless his name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. In fact, there's a psalm that says, he daily loads me. Every day, he loads me up with benefits. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Because you came into Jesus, you have been blessed. It may not look like every area of your world is blessed, but that's what faith is, walking not by sight. You may not see it, but believe it. It's there, and it will materialize into actuality. That's how faith works. You believe what you can't see. And sometimes you can't see it because of discouragement or doubt or unbelief in your soul. That's what closes our eyes quicker than anything. But there's a switch inside you called faith, and you can switch it on. Don't wait for God to make you believe. You can make yourself believe. You just say, today I'm going to believe. The scripture says, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory. Come on, people, help me here. He is going to bring blessing over your life. And then the Lord, he wants you to not only worship him and give thanks and give praise, but he wants you to do it in a way that has substance. And when we say worship God, all through the Bible, to worship didn't mean just to say things. It meant to bring substance to God. What do we bring the Lord? Whatever he's given us. This is a really important thing to understand, people. God gives us stuff, so we've got something to give to him. Abraham waited 100 years for a child, a miracle. At 100, he gets his dream. I don't know anybody in this room who's waited like that long for something they've been praying and believing for. That's a long time. And finally it happens. You have it for a little while, and what does God do with that? He says, I would like you to offer it back to me. Bring Isaac. What a heartbreaking moment. God, you gave me this, you gave me this business, you gave me this little savings for my mortgage, you gave me this, you gave me. He says, bring it to me. I want to figure out if I'm more important than that. I want you just to, you say I am. I've heard your voice. Above all, I worship. So let's translate our words into that reality here today with worship that involves heart. We feel it. I don't know what you felt when you heard that story before. I know this couple. How much they give is not insignificant. It's serious giving. But the breakthroughs they've seen. Even before they saw the breakthrough, they decided, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to break into that area. And so when you start worshiping in every area, you need to understand that that will release to you a stack of blessing. Check this out in Psalm 31, verse 19. What a stack of blessing you have piled up for those who worship you, ready and waiting for all who run to you. There is a pathway that God has called you to walk, which engages you in giving, in sacrifice and faith, believing that as you step out, it's actually going to trigger a supply. You got to understand God has set that up in creation. Like I said before, the waters evaporate and the rain comes down. It waters the tree grows up, bears apples, the apples fall into the ground, fertilize the tree grows more. There are these cycles. And when people's greed or miserliness was withholding it, God actually instituted laws to make sure that the systems he had put in earth would not be blockaded by man's will. So he says something like in the Old Testament, do not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. Don't muzzle presents. Don't muzzle preachers. Don't muzzle your pastor. He's treading out the corn. What would that mean? That means there were some really mean-spirited Israeli farmers, because while a cow is treading out the corn, he just eats a few bits, takes a few mouthfuls every now and then. The farmer says, I'm not letting my cow eat any corn while he's working for me. You just work, cow. I'll feed you some rough old oats afterwards. The Lord says, don't muzzle that ox. Look after the ox that's treading out your corn for you. God loves your animals. Amen. He wants to look up. If he loves the animals, how much more does he love his church? How much more does he love preachers, leaders in the house of God, men who are doing good things in your world? And so that was just one example of, please don't be miserly with where you are getting blessed from, with where blessing is raining down on your life, because God has got a pile, a stack of blessing piled up for you on the pathway of generosity. That's the pathway of God. If you get over on this other pathway, sorry, no stack of blessing piled up for you, because you're not getting involved in the idea that he gives seed to the sower. Let me come down to this last couple of scriptures here before we do this. And I want you to take that envelope that's on your seat, and there are going to be FBOS machines around the building. In a few moments, we're going to be able to actually make this move and release into our worlds an unbelievable downpouring of the miraculous. Some of you have extreme difficulties in your businesses, in your finances. Now, in this service, there are miracles about to be unlocked because you step out in faith. In Hebrews 6, verse 17, it says, God wouldn't change his plan or his mind. He wanted to make this perfectly clear to those who would receive his promise. If you will today receive this promise, he wants to make it perfectly clear to you that he will keep his word. So he took an oath. God couldn't take an oath by anybody higher, so he swore by himself. God did this so we would be encouraged. God cannot lie when he takes an oath or makes a promise. These two things can never be changed. Those of us who've taken refuge in him hold on to the confidence we have been given. So let me read you the promise of God. While you sit here today and say, you know what, I'm going to step into a zone I've never been before. One year we were here, a gentleman saw some numbers up on a screen, and it was 77,000. He said, okay, Lord, I'm going to go for it. The Lord said, add a zero. He said, I didn't hear that, Lord. I can't hear that. What did you say? Had a zero. He did. And he did. Wasn't some flaky IOU or something. And if you are wanting to do something like an IOU today, you're welcome to just write it out and say, this is my pledge over the next year. And if you're watching online, I would love you to be engaged in this as well. You can participate in this, and I'm praying and believing that you also will receive this anointing and miracle that will come into your world as you decide. You go on wherever it is on your screen, on the system inside the computer. There's so many people watching online, around 40,000 people. I'm getting texts regularly from people who got healed last night. Somebody said, I was watching, and when you said the hip, my hip got healed. It's in here somewhere, and then I got this and that, and this is an awesome thing. So it's like we've got an online conference as well. But I wouldn't like to think that you just sit in there and say, oh yeah, well, bring it on. I mean, as well, you can participate and say, I'm going to get involved. I'm going to be part of this. I want to join with my brothers and my sisters down there in Sydney and participate as well. This is the promise. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. If you want to get big results, you've got to think bigger and give bigger. That's all it is. That's what he's saying. So let each one give as he purposes, or she, in his or her heart. Not grudgingly. Honestly, if it's a grudge, please keep it. Hang on to it. God's not that desperate. Neither are we. You know, honestly, if you're not into it, it's okay. He said, don't do it grudgingly. But you could just change that attitude. You could go, come on, straighten up on the inside. Put your big boy pants on. Grow up a little. You're not some kid with a little toy. I'm not going to give this away. You're an adult now, remember? All the youth are down at the youth session. You're the grown-ups. That's why we do it in this session. Amen. Because this is the crowd. Yeah, we can do this. I'm a responsible person. I'm not going to take a free ride and let the person sitting next to me pay for everything here. I'm not going to be a freeloading Christian. I'm going to get in so God can look at me bearing the work of God on my shoulders as much as anybody else's. So let each one give. I got like 7 minutes. Let each one give. I don't need to amplify that, do I? It just says it. Let each one give. Yeah. It says it. It's kind of obvious. Do you think? You're not talking to me. Do you think? Yeah. Oh, thank you. Amen. Let each one give. I'm just going very quiet out there. Seven minutes. I got to think what I'm going to do. Often there are some arguments right now. Husbands and wives. If you follow my advice, go with the wife. Amen. They're generally more generous, you know. Andrew Kabbalah, he's got a great story about that. Anyway, Janine's, she's got the heart, and Andrew caught up. Amen. Not grudgingly or of necessity. We're not saying, oh, we're going to go down the drain if we don't get it. No. This is a free will, free-spirited, brilliant opportunity for me to express my love for God. For God loves a cheerful giver. He will not do without a cheerful giver, the Amplified Bible says. Loves a cheerful giver. Who does God love? Loves a cheerful giver. You know, when you watch your kids, one of them's not trying to hold on to all this sugar or the crunchy bar, or eat it all before the other kids go out. Got a plate of ice cream. It's mine. It doesn't really help you, does it? Love the kid. But if they go, yeah, have some of mine. You kind of love that kid. You say, oh, here's some more. Do you not? I do. I go like, Wow, that was impressive for a little kid like that to be unselfish and giving. That's how God is. It's that simple. He looks at us, says, here's some more. Look at you, here's some more. Big, sharing the whole bowl. Okay, here's a whole bucket. Here's the big Toblerone bar from the duty-free shop. You giving that away? No, okay, well, here's a truckload of. You will not outgive him. Go on, try him. Try him out. But you can't do it. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able. That's what this service is. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Woo! I love the Bible. I've prayed about this service a lot longer than I've preached in it. Believe me. I woke up this morning thinking about this, and I'm so thankful that you are here. Because I feel like God is just simply itching to bring blessing into your life. He just needs the trigger to activate the systems that He has put in place on the earth. And so as you fill out those cards, pastors are going to come to the front of each section around the building. We're not allowed through the public arena to bring people, everybody down from the stairs down front. So which we did do in some other buildings, but at the front of each section, the pastors and the people who are going to be there could be there. And there are FPOS machines, as I said, around those areas. And we're going to come to those containers. Is it pastors or ushers? I'm sorry. Ushers, yeah. Ushers will be there. And if you can make sure we're looking after that, thank you now. In a few moments, the band will come and they are there. They will begin playing something joyful as we cheerfully come to bring a great God is able miracle offering to the Lord. Let's give the Lord a clap offering as we prepare for this in the name of Jesus. I want to pray for you. Right now, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful moment. I feel the joy of heaven in my heart. That's an awesome thing because there are some people finding they're getting a breakthrough in their own heart about this. They're getting a breakthrough in their own thinking about this. That they've been in some other space, some other mindset, some other attitude. And you're finding, okay, well, maybe I could come into that zone and discover an area of God that I've not experienced before. And I know you will. So Lord, today I pray for every giver here, every believer here, every friend, every guest, every presence delegate, that in this offering today, your great power, Heavenly Father, will fall upon them. And in Jesus' name, as a man of God, I declare victory. As an ambassador of Jesus Christ, I declare abundance into the lives and hearts of every person here who's been entrusted with resources to bring a great offering to the Lord, to bless Him, to worship Him, and to see a harvest that's beyond our wildest dreams. Lord, today your blessing rests on each couple, each individual, each single person, each young person, each family. Brings this offering into your presence.
C3 Church is a vibrant, contemporary community of people who want to know Jesus more and be equipped to live their best life. We have over 300 churches around the world waiting to welcome you. So find your nearest C3 at c3churchglobal.com.
Hey, it's Beck Pringle here. Thanks for joining us today. We wanted to take a moment to say a special thank you on behalf of Pastor Phil and Chris to all of our friends and partners and congregations all around the world that helped to make this podcast possible. We're praying and believing with you for favor and blessing over all of your lives. To tell us your story of how this message has impacted you, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.